From Matilla's Multimedia in Courtney, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm your chef and host, Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. We'd like to thank you for joining us again as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. Today we're going to get, our last episode, if people remember, we had a chance, we're talking about the sunset on the
right
street.
And how did that go, John? I unfortunately wasn't here for that. I was out of town.
You missed out. Yeah, well, it was fabulous. I should say that we didn't actually get it on the street.
Oh.
The raining started, the wind started coming.
Oh, no.
And it went a little sideways for us. Oh. And so I did a little begging. Trent and Sandra from the Atlas just allowed us to bring it inside. So,
oh, wow.
So we took it off the street and just put it in the cafe. So we had 50 people in the cafe and did the dinner out of there with
some
live music, and it was a lot of fun, and everything came out beautifully.
Perfect.
And I want to go on to the dessert because as this event, we did it as for a fundraiser for Lush Valley.
Right.
And so I was luckily enough able to get our good friend James here to come in and donate us some apples from Lush Valley to put into the dinner. And so we did a nice apple tart.
Oh.
And so I thought from that, we should bring James back on and talk about what's happening with Lush Valley and with apple picking.
Perfect. Well, James McCarricker, here we are. James is back again. This was actually, I think it was about a year ago that you were on the show last.
Well, I feel like it wasn't quite that long ago, but
I think that was the time
with the Butcher's Block and then with Lush Valley.
Yeah,
to be honest, time frames.
That's right.
Not my specialty, but
I just remember that it may have been the first time that you're on. We were talking about more or less the same thing, the picking season, and maybe that was, I don't know, maybe I'm getting one.
Yeah, we were talking about Lush in a more general sense, all of the different things at that time. We were really advocating, we still are, for the urban agriculture initiatives.
Perfect.
But yeah, now here I am. At that time, I wasn't working as the fruit tree program coordinator. Right. So it's been...
Like John said, that he's asked you to come back in because it seemed like the perfect segue. So what is going on right now then? Like what's...
Because you've taken on this whole new part of Lush Valley, or not a new part, but you've taken over control.
Yeah, I'm coordinating the apple picking program, the fruit tree program, primarily by mass. It is apples, but it's been a slow season. I think everyone that's interested in fruit trees would recognize that it's been a pretty poor season for apples this year. So our numbers at this point are, we've picked not quite 8,000 pounds of produce overall. Last year, we picked over almost 60,000 pounds. So we're looking at numbers that are, 10 to 15 or 15% roughly of last year's harvest. And
holy smokes.
Yeah. So that's made the program very quiet, but I think that's also just an opportunity to, for me personally, to learn the systems, learn the people, learn the ropes, as it were, to actually kind of, I can see how, with a season like how last season went, everyone that's involved in the program is just totally overwhelmed by the huge harvests, the apples last year. It's just totally insane, and all sorts of challenges that go along with getting that fruit out and consumed, in the community. And this year being so quiet, it's given me time to just, learn who's going to use which fruit and where best to to distribute primarily, but
to really be that coordinator.
Mm-hmm. So, is it a lack of participation as far as the donor, or is it just that this is a poor growing season?
No, very much just a poor growing season, and to the point where I'm even contacting fruit tree owners that had us pick in previous years, and a lot of them, the bigger picks especially, and calling them and saying, it's not even really worth your while to come out here. I'd like what we have, or
Wow.
Where in years past, some of these harvests are well over 1,000 pounds, 2,000 pounds kind of thing.
Goodness.
So yeah, it's, a lot of the homeowners, they always call Lush. They call Lush every year. So this year is no different, but we go there and it's like, it's not really even worth our time. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So there are trees that are doing well, and there's little pockets of places that, are doing well, but on the whole, the numbers are way down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you took over this year from Dave.
That's right. Yeah. Dave Semmelink last year and Paul Arendt the year before.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. And we were able to interview Dave about it last year.
That's right.
And got to talk to him a little bit about his farm and what was going on there at that time. And that's when I first got involved with it with the Chefs Association, where we got invited out and we did a pick out in Comox, which was quite exhilarating, actually. It was a lot of fun, especially for the chefs who are used to cooking the food but not always used to gathering it. So it was kind of just that different experience to be there and climbing up trees and having bags and pulling apples out. And I, you know, I was able to bring my daughter and she was dropping them on my head and having a great old time after. She was like, I don't want to go pick apples. Like, for, so let's talk a little bit more about the apple picking. Like, what is, what do the proceeds go for this?
When we pick a fruit tree or any, anything, the rough distribution is the owner, the homeowner, keeps a third, the volunteer pickers take a third, and then Lush Valley would take a third. And with the Lush Valley third, we distribute that through the community, through all sorts of community partners. Right now, I'm really focusing on getting the fruit out to elementary schools, but we take food to Salvation Army, Transition Society.
I mean, my kids are, let me see where I want to enter into this. So my kids they're at two different elementary schools, and not so much now, but in the past, sometimes there's just a day where this food shows up, whether it's apples, whether it's blueberries, whether it's whatever. And I've asked, and nobody seems to ever have an explanation, but is this where that fruit in or food or harvest or whatever that's showing up at the schools for the kids to eat, is that where this is coming from?
I think, yeah, it's one of lots of different things. I'm not sure where other fruit might be coming from.
Right, there may be other programs.
But yeah, sometimes I go to schools and to drop off apples, and there's already a bowl of apples on the counter that I haven't brought them, but someone else has.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
We try to get to the schools early in the week so that we've got lots of time for the kids to grab them. This fruit is really just largely just being put as a bowl out in the hallway somewhere or at the front office or whatever, somewhere where the kids can just go and grab it. So.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The challenge this year has been to go through the fruit because coupled with the poor pollination, we've had a lot of fruit drop early this season with the hot, dry summer. Fruit trees need to be watered in heat like that. And so a lot of fruit dropped prematurely. We have a lot of small green fruit that really isn't that great to eat. So we are going through the harvest and going, okay, here's a nice big red apple. Let's send that to the schools because that's one that kids are actually going to. Puckering.
Well, that was neat when I met up with you to get the apples for the event, as we thought, you know, so they're a great, great fundraiser and stuff. And I was like, why don't we use your apples to showcase like what we have in our community? Because the whole dinner was revolving around foods that I could get within our community. Definitely hit the 100-mile diet as best as I could there. And so it was neat just to show up with you and go through. We're going through the trailer because you have a refrigeration trailer that you have just recently purchased, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we have a trailer. It's parked in the Watchier parking lot on the corner of 17th and McPhee.
Yeah, and so you've got this place that you can keep and store these apples before you transport them. And I just remember going through and picking through and you being like, oh man, there's a lot of small apples here. And he's like, I don't want you to get these because it's going to take you an hour just to peel all of them to make anything with them.
But, well, that's it. Yeah, people go, oh, make applesauce. Well, you know, who are you going to give all these really small apples to? You know, seniors, it's not a nice tactile thing for them to work with. Small kids, it's going to be frustrating and a slow process. So
that's actually my preference for an apple pie is the little ones.
Oh, I've got a few I can hook you up with.
I mean, it is a little bit of extra work, but I don't know, there's just a really good balance there once you bake them. So
yeah, fair enough.
What other venues are you looking at?
All sorts of different places. So, you know, we are parked in the parking lot of Watchier, and so they're definitely a community partner, and we make sure that we get fruit to them every Tuesday because they have an elders dinner on Wednesday. Tuesday is kind of a magical day for distribution. That's where everyone likes to get their stuff, and the places that I'm taking it are often distributing amongst themselves as well, so I can kind of treat certain places as hubs, knowing that like I can give this to, you know, Healthy Families, and they'll distribute to the Transition Society or what have you. On occasion, Salvation Army, the food bank, Comox First Nation. I have a lovely elder that comes over, and we text each other back and forth when she has an event coming up or she knows that she has an opportunity to do some processing. She took a bunch of plums and made a plum sauce. You know, I can give her those things that I know, this is a big box of squishy plums. You need to use them today or they're not going to be
Yeah.
And there's only so many places that have the resources. You can't take that to the food bank because
right.
they don't have the means to process them then and there, of course. They're inundated, right?
Right. So yeah, they even need a little lead time.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, and then again, with you had said it's primarily apples, but I mean, locally, I guess we can just sort of make our own assumptions here knowing what grows locally, but it's mostly fruit trees.
Yeah, it is mostly fruit trees. Grapes have been fantastic this season as well. And that's been actually, we've harvested several hundred pounds of grapes in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Which, actually I can continue with the places that mm-hmm. our fruit goes. Cause, a combination that I'm really excited about is with Linda Smith from Lawn to Food. And she does a lot of the lush canning and preserving workshops. So, she took a bunch of those grapes and she did a class on jellies and chutneys with a bunch of grapes.
Fantastic.
Another thing where we have this huge, we're inundated with, you know, hundreds of pounds of grapes as a community in a way. I mean, here's someone who's got hundreds of, an individual is not going to use these, right?
Right.
So it's kind of a community resource and we need to think of where can the community be best putting those. And I think workshops like that, where you get people who are interested in coming, making jelly, perfect. Come to Lake Trail or Cumberland Rec Center and do a class on jellies. And the classes are very inexpensive and you're kind of, there's this huge abundance of food. So we have picked a lot of grapes this season, which has been fantastic. The typical tree fruits, apples, pears, plums, cherries, mm-hmm. very small amounts of figs. But we also had another really interesting opportunity recently where we actually gleaned a greenhouse. The Fireweed Farm Stand in Merville were very generous and they offered up their greenhouse at the end of the season where it wasn't economical anymore for them to go and pick it themselves. So they had us come in and harvest and we took out hundreds of pounds, literally, of tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, cucumbers.
That's fantastic.
And so we're actually doing a salsa class with a great majority of that tomorrow at Lake Trail, which still has spots in it. And at $20 for a class like that, to walk away with, you know, a dozen jars or so of your own homemade salsa.
Oh, really? You'll go away with that much?
Yeah, up to, depending on how many people show up. But there's a lot of tomatoes and peppers waiting to be turned into salsa. And
you
couldn't buy the ingredients for twice that.
No,
you know?
Exactly.
Not even close.
Even doing it at home by yourself, you can get it for that cheap. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing that salsa class tomorrow because I was sweet, why not? Yeah. And
actually, you know what? I just thought of something. I'm usually a person that's completely caught up in a million things. Tuesdays are always a lock for me. And I actually have tomorrow free. I'm totally going to come down to
you
that.
You should.
Sounds like you guys got to do a little carpool together.
Yeah, we might have a third here.
We'll bring James down here too. Our producer.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's great. I've been just getting into doing a lot of canning and it's mostly James's fault, I have to say, just having you on the set because I know we've talked about your garden and the front lawn there before.
No more, please.
I don't know if you've been listening to episodes, but I think he refers to your garden like all the time.
All the time. I'm like, James is. Anyways, but you showed up at my place with a ton of plants, a bunch of seedlings, and said, hey, go nuts. And I turned them over to Kirsten, so they actually became something.
She saved them from you.
She saved them from me, yeah. Or she watered them. I think that's what she did. Anyway, so now we've got this. I've made a bunch of, we've been doing like canning so much and bringing so much stuff off the deck, just off our deck.
I was just going to say, you really lucked out. You had somebody bring you great seedlings and somebody else start you great compost. You must have had an abundance this year.
I was doing pretty well today. Yeah, I think it's, and I've never been a canner. I've never been one of those people, but now it's almost like my go-to. I have like this rocket burner out on my deck, a little propane burner. And literally whenever I start cooking anything now, I just turn it on full blast and whatever I got left over, I just throw in cans and throw it out there and
that's awesome.
And can it all up. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's just
neat. Isn't that so not to get too much into it or deviate too much, but that's what changed everything for me. I went from like thinking canning and jarring and all that was insurmountable. I thought it was too much work. I just remember my mom, friends would come over and they would go 9-10 hours straight. And I was like, God, I would never want to do that. But small batch canning, when you literally just as you're finishing up whatever you're doing or whatever you're processing and you take that, you know, you just get everything else going and you can can a small batch, 5-6 jars of something in no time flat. And it's really while you're just cleaning up after dinner or whatever. It's amazing. And I love it. I love that just opened up a whole world for me. And that's why I'm always on the search now for
Well, and it's wings. Great that we have places like Lush yeah. Valley that are willing to teach people how to do this. And
yeah.
I think, yeah, teaching and also just providing the space. You know, I also yeah. have a pretty small kitchen, and I totally hear what you're saying about mm-hmm. the small batches. Like, you can still come home from work after mm-hmm. a busy day and still do a quick batch of salsa or something yeah. if you have those ingredients.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. It's not overly arduous. But if you don't have the space, if you don't have a kitchen that can do that, or you don't have the tools.
Right.
Here's a class where it's like $20.
Yeah.
It's nothing, right? Like I said, it's and you've got this space that all the tools that you need are there, and it's yeah. I love Linda's style because she's just very much like here are the guidelines, here's what you need to know, and just go ahead and do your thing, and if you want guidance
that's fantastic,
have at her, right? So
before, because I'll end up forgetting, I know that I will, not forgetting this, but forgetting to ask you so that we get the information on the air. So where can people find this tomorrow? This is tomorrow, Tuesday,
The 26th, I guess.
26th, okay.
Yeah, I guess hopefully this is on air by then.
Just thinking we're gonna put this up tonight, I think.
Yeah, thought we're talking live here.
yeah.
You find it online if you just follow Lush or through Facebook, that is.
Okay.
That's how I found it anyways. I guess maybe through the Lush website as well, but I actually don't know if that's true.
Okay. Yeah. I think everybody here can navigate through Facebook to find Lush Valley.
Probably.
Yeah. But where is it? It's
at Lake Trail School. Yeah.
Perfect.
So they've got a great kitchen space there. It can accommodate 10 people, all in different workstations, and yeah.
Wonderful. It'll be fun. Okay.
Now let's get back to the fruit picking. Mm-hmm. You're still picking right now, or is it almost over for you?
Yeah, we're still picking right now, for sure. We don't have a lot of trees that are lined up to be picked right now. So certainly, if you've got even a little bit of fruit, we'd like to hear from anybody that has an apple tree. Next weekend is the Foggy Mountain Fall Fair, and we're going to be there, and hopefully we're going to be making a whole bunch of juice, because we're going to have Pressing Matters up there. Pressing juice on site. So
great.
That's going to be cool, and we're bringing a lot of fruit up for that. And we'll have boxes of fruit for sale. Of juice for sale. 5-liter pasteurized box of juice, $15.
And that's the best stuff, right?
Yeah. Like that fresh sorry, apple. That's a total ramble though. But yeah, I'm looking to get trees picked between now and next weekend, ideally. So I'm hoping that we have another good week here, where we can, you know, the calls just kind of come in and we're responding, you know, that day or the next day kind of thing right now.
Wow.
So, yeah, lots of keen volunteers. There's lots of people that. You know, we have over 200 people signed up to volunteer pick, but
wow,
you know, the picks that we're having this year, we only need 3 volunteers at a time, and everyone's keen, and it's difficult to get people out this season. But
oh, wow.
So there's lots of keen volunteers to pick your tree. If you want to pick tomorrow, let me know.
And you're looking for people with not just apple trees. You're looking for everything. I think we've talked about it.
Yeah, apples and pears right now. And I suppose if you have a late plum, we picked a plum tree yesterday, which was just fantastic. These little yellow candy-like plums. They were amazing.
Perfect.
Kirsten went after the neighbor's plum tree because
Next door there?
Yeah, right next door.
I've
there.
Been looking at that, yeah.
Yeah, we've been drying them out, so...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yes. We've had little tasty treats all week here, so it's great.
Yeah.
And just to delve a little more back into you, James, so your involvement with Lush Valley, is it just the fruit tree program?
I'm also on the board.
You are?
Yeah, I've been on the board for a year or so now.
Great.
Yeah.
And what else does Lush Valley have coming up in the next coming months? Or, I mean, aside from, I know it's not an event-based organization, but what's your eye looking towards? What do you guys have in the works, or what are you planning to get ready for?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, I don't know exactly what's planned, but there will be for sure. You know, just probably more canning or preserving workshops. I remember last year through the winter, I was saying to Linda that I really looked forward. I wanted to do her marmalade class in February. You know, in the dead of winter, any kind of class like that kind of gets people out, because it's like, I get to work with some interesting food.
For sure.
But there'll be, I imagine, all sorts of different youth cooking workshops and classes for single parents. I don't know the exact nuts and bolts of
fine, but that's just that's what you go into the season, is that's what you're looking towards. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we have our AGM actually coming up October 17th, I believe. I should know that date, but it's something like that.
You better be there.
I'm going to be there, yeah. And that's at North Island College. So if you're interested in learning more about what Lush has to offer or getting more involved, that's a great opportunity for people to learn more about Lush, yeah.
Well, I've got your little, was it the annual report? I picked this up from the dinner the other night. So just some interesting stuff with your fruit tree program, the community cooler, young cooks. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of getting that in. They have youth hot meals at Lake Trail Middle School. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great for the kids. Valley's Dad's Night Out.
Yeah. So that's just an opportunity to get out and teach some dads some new just basic food literacy and some cooking tips.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, tricks, stuff like that. Yeah.
You and me are lucky. Cause
I know. I was going to say, when John first asked me to come in and start doing this, I was literally, we don't talk about this often, but I think the last time we talked about it was a couple of years ago. I was literally on the precipice of doing a YouTube channel. Like, this is 4 or 5 years ago, before YouTube channels were a thing. But that was it. I wanted to just teach other guys like me that didn't have the benefit of having a great growing up in a very hands-on kitchen and lots of education. Just like, okay, so here are the basics, and like just in little digestible 2.5 minute, 3 minute segments of like, here's how to take yourself from being barely knowing or being uncomfortable in the kitchen to being pretty confident. And just, that was the idea. And I love the idea of doing that. Like, if this is something I can get involved in Lush Valley and help out, I would absolutely,
That's
my
cool
impetus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, the whole food literacy piece is just so incredibly important. Without the interest and the passion for good, wholesome food, however you want to define that, but local food, you know, the appreciation for a certain variety of apple versus another variety of apple or whatever it is, that's so critical. So if you can't get people to like take the time to care about their food and cook nice things, or not even take, it doesn't necessarily have to take a lot of time, but at least have that caring, that real consideration of what you're doing, your whole process and the consumption of what is it that you're eating and all those things. Yeah. If you don't have that, then you can't get anyone to care about anything else, really. You know, like, people have to care about their food before they want to go pick an apple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you do have to care about it, because otherwise there's cheaper or more efficient options that sort of keep you separate from your food or distance from your food.
Absolutely. Yeah, if I can bring it back to that a little bit, with, you know, the fruit tree program, it's kind of sad to think how much fruit leather the Comox Valley consumes in a given year. You know, just dried fruit from Sunripe wrapped in plastic.
And, oh, really?
Well, sure. Like, I mean, like from Costco or from, imagine how many fruit leathers kids consume on it. And yet, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds, if more, not more, of apples and other fruit fall on the ground and rot in the same, you know, like that, that's...
I used to, my aunt, growing up, my aunt lived in Peachland and she had the food mecca. And I remember being there and she said, I'd been there a few times, but we went there once and it was, I think we were there for 4 days and it was my brother and I. And she's like, we're just going to eat out of the garden the whole time you're here. We're going to eat nothing except for things that came out of the garden. And we were like, we thought, 4 days of broccoli. Great. Yeah. You know, like that's what we were looking forward to.
Again.
But I remember that, like, we drank fantastic juices and smoothies sort of pre the time when they were called smoothies. And that was one of the things, though, every day, that was our snack. It was our treat, was the fruit leather. And she made tons and tons of fruit leather. And it was nothing. It was just not even an effort for her, you know?
Yeah.
There's fruit leather.
That goes on to the next thing, is like community workshops. Are you guys doing workshops on how to make fruit leather?
Not yet. No, we don't do anything in the realm of dehydrating yet. But that's kind of where I'd like to see things go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is that... there's so many different ways to preserve something, and it doesn't have to be in a jar and it doesn't have to be pickled or brined, which is what I think a lot of people get in their head, that when you're talking about preserving food, that's the first thing they think of. And there's tons of ways, and you know, drying food is such a fantastic way.
Yeah.
Preserves so much flavor.
Totally. Yeah.
And no real flavor alteration anyways.
Yeah. No, that's kind of my go-to preservation. I mean, I love Canon stuff as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, with the apple juice or with apples, I mean, as a community, just working together to make sure that, hey, let's just juice a ton of these, you know, and get them out. So
I like that idea of just the community coming together and putting their resources together to connect. And
I think that's what it takes for the system to be truly effective. You know, as I've just seen the season of going out and harvesting all this fruit and running it around to all these different elementary schools, I think that we need a community-based approach and community scaled infrastructure to make the most of the way that we deal with this incredible resource that grows in people's backyards with no effort. You know, what a great gift. How do we best make sure that ultimately that gets consumed, you know? And I think that number one is you have people get people to care, the food literacy piece, and then develop the infrastructure, develop the distribution systems, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know I think that that's fantastic and that is a great idea. And the weight of it isn't on Lush Valley's shoulders to sort of bear the brunt of that, but who else could be, I don't know, corralled into this to sort of spread the responsibility of getting this all going? Like who, because if one man can't pull the entire community together, you know, and one man in a small organization such as Lush Valley still can't, you still need the participation of others. So I'm saying where do you grow next to draw in people to sort of build that network or that strength?
Yeah, it's a tough question. I don't know the answers. I mean, we just need ultimately more people that are involved in some way.
Right.
And I don't, So I don't know. It's not a problem we'll, you know, fix but next
that's,
year.
But that's something that should be noted then is that, or even for my, even for my own needs or interest, is that Lush Valley is a bit of an open door. It's not a closed door. We make these decisions. You know, we are who we are and deal with it. It's more like, this is an open community thing. Please come and help out, join in, get involved. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, if I could specifically with the apples, one of my goals with that program is to involve as many people from, you know, all different backgrounds. And so I had the reason I thought of that, I had a volunteer that contacted me and says, I can't pick apples. I have a disability. I'm not able to pick apples, but there must be some way you can use me and I can do this, this, and this. And now her and I meet on Tuesday on, you know, distribution day, and it's with her that I sort through the apples. So I bring her a box and she goes and I go A, B, and C, you know, this is the three categories. And she just is happy just sitting there and just, you know, sorting, putting together nice bags of apples. And I feel like that's a task that, you know, a lot of perhaps senior citizens or people who are on disabilities could enjoy. They're contributing and her time is valuable to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting all, how can we involve seniors, you know, more in this program? At the same time, of course, we need able bodies to get up ladders and haul big boxes of apples. But there's all sorts of opportunities, I think, to be involved in the program. And I personally am only just beginning to learn where those opportunities lie. I guess. Yeah.
Interesting.
So I'm guessing you're going to be doing this again next year, is that?
Oh, I would imagine so. Yeah, I've got a lot of energy for it right now, I guess, because I had such a quiet season. So I'm like, all right, next year I'm going to,
I'll get on with this.
Yeah, I don't know what time of year you talked to Dave, but I imagine by this point he might have been perhaps a little bit exhausted and maybe a little bit over apples. But now I'm just like, I can't wait to pick apples next year.
I noticed you've also been collecting a few for yourself and... I saw your compost bins there the other day as you're prepping up your garden for next year. So
there's a few at my house. Those are all picked on my personal time, of course.
So just some perks of the job, right?
Anything else? So let's say somebody does want to get involved with Lush Valley, maybe not just the apple picking, but Lush Valley in general. How do they do that?
You can just send us an email, lush@lushvalley.org admin@lushvalley.org.
Okay.
Or if you want to email me personally, I answer to fruit@lushvalley.org. So if you have a question and you can also call Lush, 331-0152.
Perfect.
So I'm answering that phone right now. And
awesome.
I've people call about all sorts of things and it's kind of fun just to see what people are interested in being involved in. A plug for the fruit tree program, though, specifically, I am looking for able bodies that like to get up ladders, have trucks, and can manage a group of volunteers.
Wow.
So if that's you. We're always looking for...
I was going to say, you think you just described John.
Yeah, I think so.
I do have a Tuesday off once in a while. So.
Yeah. Who's also... Yeah, sorry. Able-bodied, truck, manage a group of volunteers is like quasi-retired.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's kind of a magical formula. But even, of course, individuals that have a truck but don't want to manage a group of volunteers, and perhaps individuals that don't have a truck but can manage a group of volunteers, and let's get those people out. And the trick this season I can see is having enough pick leaders, so someone who can go to a pick, bring the necessary resources, and work with a group of volunteers to get a pick done,
right?
Without me having to be at every single pick that happens in.
Right. That's highly ineffectual.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of picks, so
yeah,
and we do have a great group of pick leaders, but I think that if we have a season like next season, we're going to need a whole lot more.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
And you guys have lots of equipment, so it's not like people are... Like, you have ladders and bags and...
Yeah.
And what do you call the poles with the...
Pole pickers, picking poles.
Is that a pole picker?
Okay. Yeah,
it's extendable. I thought it would have some really fun, cool name that...
you can make one up. I mean, they are pretty cool looking, but... and they're super effective. If you don't like getting up ladders, pole pickers can pick a tree quickly with someone who knows how to use it.
I used one the other time and I was like, that's really neat. Like, you're just reaching up there with the pole and it's got a little basket and you just scoop the apple one at a time. And
totally. A group of four volunteers with pole pickers can
clean a tree pretty quick.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and do you have anything else that you need to mention before we...
No, I was just looking at my notes there. I think I covered everything that I wanted to say. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show again, James.
And thanks for coming in with actually quite short notice. We kind of just threw this at you yesterday saying, hey, what are you doing?
thanks for having me. It's been great.
Absolutely.
Always love talking with you guys.
And John and I were even talking about it now that we've moved to the studio that's a little more closer to our neighborhood. We're like, oh, we can draw from people, because John and I live nearby, as you would know. Mm-hmm. We live near one another, and we thought, like, oh, there's so many people now in the community that we can just grab at a moment's notice and bring down and do an episode with. So you're the first to benefit from that.
Right on. It's pretty sweet. You should do a podcast here.
But thanks for coming on and telling us all the great things about Lush Valley and the picking, and I will definitely be at the salsa class tomorrow.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I guess we should definitely thank everyone for tuning in and listening to you. Thank you for sharing and joining in with us with our little descriptions of our Edible Valley. Definitely, if you want to learn more or you have something you want us to talk about or someone to talk to, please email us at theediblevalley@gmail.com. Don't forget, we still have a Twitter site going, and I try and get some tweets up every so often about what we're doing in the Edible Valley. And definitely follow all of our sites. Love to hear a review, how you feel about the Edible Valley podcast, so we can help promote and spread the message and make these shows a little more interesting if there's something we're missing out on.
And I want to thank everybody that supports us and keeps the show going, like Atlas Cafe and Butcher's Block. Definitely, I don't even think we mentioned that. If anybody doesn't know, James is also always available at Butcher's Block.
Every Monday.
He's the Monday guy.
And then we've always had fantastic support from Ivan's Truffles and Kirsten Wood Music and Matilla's Multimedia. All of whom we can't really do the show without. So thank you so much for all of your support.
We also have the other one you keep forgetting. Beaufort Traditional.
Oh, Beaufort Traditional. I'm sorry. You saw Blaine today.
I saw Blaine today, so.
Beaufort Traditional is Blaine, absolutely, who, as everybody will remember, was the starter, the beginning. He was the origin of the show.
Origin of the show.
It all came from him.
And just suckered us two into it, to doing it and sharing with you all, so.
So thank you very much for all the support. And
thank you for listening to the Edible Valley podcast.
Thanks.